Let's pray. God, please send your Spirit into our hearts today to help us to be as generous as you are. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, 'tis the season to receive donation letters in your mailboxes and donation emails in your inboxes. And it seems like everybody under the sun is asking you to give an end-of-the-year donation to support their organization. And the cool thing is many of these organizations are doing amazing things that are blessing all kinds of people. And the reason you know that is as you read their emails or letters, they have all these cool testimonials that tug at your heart and also at your wallet. The difficulty, though, is that your heart and wallet can only be tugged in so many different directions. A friend of mine in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, after he had retired, he loved to give back, and he was starting to get all of these letters in the mail. And he admitted to me, he's like, this is overwhelming. Like, I want to say yes, but there's so many of them. And it got to the point where this cheerful, generous giver was no longer cheerful. And he felt obligated to give and overwhelmed and guilty almost. Like he felt like guilt was his ultimate motivation. And maybe you've been there yourself. You've given, you like to give, you enjoy it, it's fun, but now you're inundated with all these requests and you can't say yes to all of them, and maybe right now your motivating factor is guilt. Back in the day when I was studying to be a pastor, a classmate of mine all of a sudden up and quit the seminary. And it was surprising. I knew him. He was my friend. He was very generous, a thoughtful guy, volunteered all the time. And so I was surprised by that. And I pulled him aside and said, what's going on? What's motivating you to not want to be a pastor anymore? And he said, well, I'm sick of being a phony. What does that mean? He said, when I got into this, I didn't want to become a pastor to help people or to draw them closer to God. I did it because it made me feel good. And he admitted that the reason he volunteered all the time was not to help people, but because it made him feel good about himself. Now, at the seminary, we study God's word all the time, and eventually what happened was the Holy Spirit convicted him of his hypocrisy. And he felt so icky on the inside. He's like, oh, I can't do this anymore. I can't be this false, fake person. Now, thankfully, he is still a Christian. He is forgiven for what he's done. And he's got a great career now where he is able to bless other people for the right reason. But what I admire about my classmate was his willingness to admit that his heart was not in the right place. And my question for you today is where is your heart? What motivates you to give of your time, of your money, of your treasures? What motivates you to be generous? Is it pure motivation? Or are there times where you give because you feel guilty? Do you give because you're driven by selfish motivation? And I'll be honest with you, there are times where when I give, it's not because I have pure intentions. Sometimes I do it because I'm on a guilt trip. Sometimes I give because I'm motivated for my own selfish reasons. And I think a lot of us have done that. And that's why we've been studying generosity. That's why we've been looking at what does God say about being generous. And God has quite a bit to say about it. And some of the things that we've learned is that oftentimes when we give, it's because somebody else gave more. Or we don't want to look like we're stingy. And so we're comparing ourselves to other people. And last week, what God taught us is that God does not judge us based on somebody else's generosity. He takes each case by case. And that we've learned that God gives us different gifts and different amount of assets. So I shouldn't be comparing what I give or donate to what you give or donate and vice versa. Because God has given to each of us differently and uniquely. And God's ultimate concern isn't how much we give, but why we give. His ultimate desire is to know what's in our heart and less so of what's in our wallet. Now, that's what we focused on last time, and that same theme is actually going to be popping up throughout our lesson today recorded for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. But our main focus is going to be the blessings and the results of godly generosity. We're going to talk about what happens when we give, when you and I give with the right motivations. And so to start off with, the Apostle Paul gives us this analogy based on agriculture. And I can appreciate this because I grew up in Nebraska. A lot of my good friends were farmers. And I envy farmers because they understand the Bible better than most people. Because when Jesus and his disciples would use analogies, oftentimes they would refer back to the land and how plants grew. And this is what Paul says in verse 6. He says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously." So understand this. When he says the word sow, he's not talking about needle and thread. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about planting. So he says, when you sow something, when you plant something, and then when you reap, when you harvest, when that plant is mature, it has its fruit, then you go in and you take it. And what Paul is doing is he is describing a universal truth embedded in God's creation. It's the sowing and reaping principle. And so if you sow, if you plant watermelon seeds, what's going to grow? Watermelons. If you plant apple seeds, what's going to grow?
Apples.
Thank you. Apples. Okay, so whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Paul brings this into the spiritual realm in his other letter to the Galatians in chapter 6. He says, if you sow evil, you're going to reap destruction. He says, if you sow good, you're going to reap a harvest of righteousness. And so in the realm of generosity, if you sow sparingly, meaning if you give a little, you're going to get a little. But he says, if you sow generously, if you give a lot, he says, then you're going to get a lot. Now, when we think about this principle, you have to come into it with the faith of a farmer. Because when a farmer goes out at the beginning of the season to plant his seeds or her seeds, they don't know what they're going to get at the end. They know what they're planting, but they don't know how big the harvest is going to be. They have to trust that God is going to keep his promises. They have to trust that God is going to multiply their work. In the same way, when you sow good deeds, when you give of your time, your talents, of your money, you don't know how God is going to reciprocate, how God is going to bless you. And that's why in faith, we have to trust that our faithful God is going to multiply, as he promises, our blessings, our gifts, that God is going to be generous as he has promised he would be. Now, unfortunately, there are many preachers who have manipulated the scripture to turn it into a get-rich-quick scheme. And their idea is that God is this spiritual slot machine, that the more money you put in, the more you're going to get back that you can spend on yourself, that you can buy all your fancy clothes and your fancy cars. That's not what this is about. This is not what God is promising. In fact, Jesus and his disciples verify that sometimes when you sow generously, what you reap is not necessarily physical gifts. Sometimes it is, but more often than not, it's spiritual treasures. The Apostle Paul was one of the most generous people that has ever lived. And yet there are quite a few times where he had nothing to his name. And if you were to ask Paul, are you rich? And he'd say, yes. Even though he had nothing, he'd say, yes, because I have Jesus. And Paul would share Jesus with as many people as possible. He would sow those gospel seeds. And even to this day, he is reaping a harvest. To this day, many people are converting to Christianity, coming to Christ because of Paul's testimony about his Savior, Jesus Christ. And you talk about generosity, you don't have to go any further than Jesus. Jesus gave up everything. Though he was rich, he became poor. Even while on the cross, it says that the soldiers there were gambling for his clothes, auctioning them off. At the end, he literally had nothing. He gave up his life. He planted it in the tomb. He sowed it in the tomb. And God blessed that generosity. God multiplied Jesus' harvest. His treasures overflowed. And those treasures are not treasures that are kept in a closet or in a storage bin or they break down. Those treasures that Jesus received are the precious souls that he saved. Souls like yours and mine. This is generosity. This is sowing generously and receiving generously. And so what Jesus and his disciples teach us is that when we sow generously, when you sow generously, it's not necessarily to get physical or tangible gifts, but it's to understand that you are storing up treasures in heaven. That when you help people and when you help them and you share with them Jesus Christ, you share your testimony with them and you let them know why you're sharing and they come to know Jesus as their Savior, what has just happened? They have received an eternal inheritance. You have gained a friend forever. This is what this is about. The greatest investment you can give is not into the stock market, is not into your education, but it is into sharing the good news of Jesus with the world. This is the greatest investment that you can make of sharing your time, talents, and treasures. And I hope this is getting you excited. Just visualize this. You know people. You have friends. You have family members that are on their way to hell. And hell is forever. It's not like you go there for a while, like on a horrible vacation. You're like, well, at least I'm going to get out of here in 2 weeks. That's not how it works. It is forever. And when you share the good news of Jesus Christ with someone, when you let them know that he allowed his body to be sown into the ground, into the tomb, and he was raised from the dead, this person, and they, when they believe that truth, they're no longer stuck on that path to destruction, but they have the promise of eternal life. That is their gift. And I hope you're thinking right now, well, what do I do? How can I be practical about being generous so that more people can come to know Christ? What's the amount? What's the bottom line dollar amount? And I appreciate that question. Because in our minds, we're all very practical people. We want clean and simple guidelines to follow. And we talked about this last time, right? That God actually allows us to give what we've decided in our hearts to give. Last time we talked about how in the Old Testament, God demanded of his Israelite nation that they must give 10% of everything that they have, a tithe. And so a lot of people today question, like, so is that what we're supposed to give as God's church, the New Testament church? Is that same number apply to us? And the answer is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Look at this with me. He says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Again, the answer is not a number. It's not 10%. It's whatever you've decided in your heart to give. Not reluctantly, not because you feel guilty, but because you get to, because you want to. Last time we talked about a poor widow who gave her two mites, two little pennies. And Jesus said, this woman gave more than everybody else because she didn't give out of her wealth, but out of her poverty. She gave everything she had. She gave not 10%, she gave 100%. And what would motivate someone to do that? What would motivate you to give everything you have for gospel ministry, to reach more people for Jesus Christ? Well, it's the fact that Jesus gave up everything for you. In another letter that the Apostle Paul wrote, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, you are not your own. You know how in this world people like to say, my body? It's not your body. It's not my body. My body, your body belongs to Jesus because he bought you with a price, with his own precious blood. And that means that you have been declared to be God's temple and the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And that means so everything we do, everything we have is meant to glorify our Savior. And we get to exercise our faith now in our generous God by being generous, by giving from our hearts. And in these next verses, Paul's going to reveal some ways that God will bless this heart-driven generosity. Look at verse 8. He says, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. When you give from a thankful heart, you do not ever have to be afraid if you're going to have enough. Because God promises that he will give to you, say it with me, abundantly. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus told the people that were listening to him, he says, look at the birds of the air. And look at the flowers of the field. If God our Father takes care of the birds, if he feeds them, if he gives them a nest to perch in, if he clothes the flower of the field that are so beautiful, how much more will he take care of you, whom he sent his son to die and rise for? God will take care of you. You don't have to worry about these things. In fact, when you put your faith in God, he says you will abound in every good work. That not only will he take care of your needs, but he will allow you to help take care of other people's needs. And then he says this. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. So this is huge. Who gives you your seed to plant in the first place? God. And then who multiplies your seed? God. And so he supplies you with the seed, he gives you food, and then he's going to increase the store so that you can enlarge, so that he through you can enlarge this harvest of righteousness, so that you can continue to give back. It's this cycle. So often in the world of false teaching, it's this idea, if I give to God, God's just going to pour all this money on me and I can swim through it and live this blessed life. What Paul is describing here is that you give to God. Okay, this is how it starts. God gives to you. You give back to God. God gives back to you. And then what? You give back to God. And then what? God gives back to you. And it's just this ongoing, amazing cycle of God blessing you so that you can bless other people. And he goes on. He says, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous. On every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in, read this with me, thanksgiving to God. He's going to say this over and over again these next few verses. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. And for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Read this. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Does it feel good when you've done something for someone else and they say thank you? Feel nice to be recognized? Absolutely, it feels good. But that proverbial pat on the back only lasts for a moment. What Paul is showing us is that when our generosity flows from thankful hearts and it's accompanied by our confession of faith in Jesus Christ, people are going to start thanking God, some of them for the first time ever and hopefully for eternity. And so what does that look like? When you give somebody something, when you give them your time, your talents, your treasures, and they say, why are you doing this? Has ever happened to you? Someone says, why are you being so nice to me? Be bold in that moment. Tell them, because I have an amazing God who's given me all that I have. He's given me his son, Jesus Christ. I have eternity. This is why I'm doing this. Because my God loved me first. Be bold. And maybe you've never said that. You're like, you know, that would make me feel really weird. Go for it. Because we want to see these people in heaven. We have an abundantly generous God who has poured out his blessings upon us. And that's why here at Faith, one of our seven core values is generosity. This is what we like to say. Would you read this with me? We value generosity because Jesus Christ generously sacrificed everything he was and is to give us everything we have and have become. We honor Jesus when we generously use our abilities, time, money, and influence for his church. I'm going to read that last part for you again. We honor Jesus when we generously use our abilities, time, money, and influence for his church. A few weeks ago, I told you in our first sermon in the series that I'm going to invite you to help me give away a lot of money. Now, it's becoming our custom here at Faith to take up a Christmas offering. And last year, we were able to gather over $3,000 in donations, financial and physical donations that we were able to give to two different organizations. And one was North Star Rehabilitation Center. This is a group that helps women who are getting out of drug and alcohol addictions. And then we also were able to give donations to a group in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It was a pregnancy counseling center. And because of those gifts, because of those donations, many people praised and thanked our Heavenly Father. Now this year, it's my privilege to reveal to you who our Christmas offering is going to be this year. And this is a mission that is near and dear to my heart. And it is called Palabra de Vida. That's Spanish for word of life. Back in 2008, my wife and I were given the privilege and opportunity to help start this congregation in the inner city of Detroit. And when we started there, there were zero people. We did not have a core group. We had a building, and we had a bunch of volunteers from the suburbs that wanted to reach this community. Recently, I was talking with a dear friend of mine who is now the pastor there, Pastor Ryan Colander, and he has informed me that Palabra de Vida now serves at least 242 baptized souls. 0 to 242. I praise God for that. And he sent me a video to show us some of our brothers and sisters in Christ in the inner city there celebrating a service similar to what we had this past summer. We had our Better Together Sunday, and they had a celebration Sunday. And so I'd like to show you this video just to give you an idea of where our Christmas offering is going to go. One of the gentlemen in this video is actually the godfather of my son Rudy. His name is Marcos. I'll point him out when he pops up on the screen. Let's watch.
If you gotta start somewhere, why not here? If you gotta start sometime, why not now? If we gotta start somewhere, I'll say here. If we gotta start sometime, I'll say now. Through the fog, there is hope in the distance. From cathedrals to third world. Love will fall to the earth like a crashing wave. Tonight's the night for the sinners and the saints. Two worlds collide in a beautiful display. It's all love tonight when we step across the line. We can sail across the sea to a city with one king. Start somewhere, why not here? If you gotta start sometime, why not now? If we gotta start somewhere, I'll say here. If we gotta start sometime, I'll say now. Through the fog, there is hope in the distance. From cathedrals to third world missions. Love will fall to the earth like a crashing wave. Tonight's the night for the sinners and the saints. Two worlds collide in a beautiful display. It's all love tonight. When we step across the line, we can sail across the sea to a city with one king. A city.
together. Tonight could last forever. Oh, tonight could last forever. We are one choice from together. Family.
For me, that brings back many, many good memories. Quite a few of those people I got to share Jesus with for the first time. Got to baptize them or their children. And it's just an amazing group of people. And the unfortunate reality is Detroit is not Carver County, Minnesota. The median income for that area for a household is $30,000. For here, in this area, it's $100,000. So obviously we are in an area that's very blessed financially. The other reality for us here in Minnesota is we have been given wonderful public and private schools that our children can attend. That's not the case in Detroit. They have one of the worst school districts in our nation. And what Palabra de Vida has done to bless the youth of their community is they've partnered with some of our other churches in the suburbs. And one in particular, Peace Lutheran School, has invited the children from Palabra de Vida to attend there at a very reduced cost. It costs $1,000 a year to send a child to receive this safe and Christian education. And mind you, some of their parents are brand new to Christianity, so this is where they're really learning about their Savior Jesus. They also have the opportunity to go to Huron Valley Lutheran High School, HVL, which for Palabra de Vida, the price has been reduced to $3,000. And currently they're sending 11 children from their church to there. And so this is what we get to help finance for these young people. And the program, they call it Crossing Bridges. And these are some of the first two participants. They started participating when Andrea and I were still in Detroit. This is Valeria, and this is Angel. And Angel has always had a little mustache, even in grade school. Both amazing kids. They both just graduated from high school, and they are attending college this year. Valeria is going to Wayne State University in downtown Detroit, and she is studying to be a pediatric doctor. And then Angel is going to Eastern Michigan, and he hopes to get into psychology or criminology. That's huge for these young people that grew up literally in the hood. Okay, where Palabra de Vida is, it's not a safe area. Most of the houses, and I'm not exaggerating, every other house was burned down, broken into. There were shootings and deaths all around. And for these kids to have an opportunity, it's huge. I can't talk. So both these young Christians shared with Pastor Ryan that, you know, their time at Peace and at HVL were huge for their faith formation. The mentors, the friends they made. I mean, I may never see these two again here on earth, but confident I get to see them in heaven for sure. And the impact that they're going to make on their communities, it's huge. Ryan shared a couple other comments. He said this past year, one family said, "Pastor, the church and schools have changed the way we live." He said another family expressed their gratitude this way. We had no idea what to do with our son. He was going down a dark path and was in trouble being blacklisted from any school here in Detroit. But something changed in him during his 2 years at Huron Valley Lutheran, so much so that his younger sister noticed that he was treating her with kindness, which inspired her to consider attending HVL as well. Ryan says, the program has changed the lives of children and their families, and I get to see the fruits of that. Thank you for your kindness in supporting these families so that they can continue to send their children to peace and to HVL. Today, we are giving you the opportunity, and I'm right there with you. I'm going to give to support these families and this church. And for the next month, we'll be gathering up this Christmas offering. And the way that you can give is that if you'd like to, first of all, don't give anything today, okay, or right now. I really want you to pray about this and say, God, how can we use our gifts to give back? And once you pray about that, once you think about that, if you're in a family situation, I want you to talk over that. And then if you decide to give a check, you can write in the memo line, Christmas offering, and that will go directly to Palabra de Vida. Otherwise, you can go online, and I know I always encourage you to go online, and that sounds scary, and so I put together a little video to show you how you can give online. So here it is.
When I encourage you to go to our website to give an offering, it may sound horribly complicated and overwhelming, and so I want to take away all that fear factor and give you a quick tutorial. So all you have to do is go to your Google search and type in faithmn.com. Brings up our website. On the top, you can click on Give. Otherwise, you can go right down to the bottom there, yellow icon, and it says, how much would you like to give? Let's just type in $1. Press the arrow. And if you're giving towards our Christmas offering, go ahead and click on that. And then if you scroll all the way down, you can go to Just Once. Click on Today. And then you can do it with a credit card or a bank account. And more often than not, what they'll have you do is sign in, create an account. If you do pay with your credit card, it's going to incur a fee. To avoid any fees, go right to your bank account. You can set that up. It's very easy. And the amount that you give will go directly to support Palabra de Vida, our designated offering for this Christmas. So thank you so much for considering doing this. It's super easy. If you have any questions, you can talk with me or one of our elders, and we'd love to give you more information. God bless.
Do I really sound like that? No. Like I said, this ministry is very dear to my heart, and I pray it becomes dear to yours as well. Just like the Macedonians and the Corinthians had the opportunity to be generous towards those in Jerusalem, God has given us this opportunity to be generous towards those brothers and sisters in Detroit. And I'm excited. No matter what happens, it's going to be good. And again, we're investing in eternities. That I just think about my own life and how many people have invested in me, and not just financially, but spiritually. And that's ultimately what we get to do here. So let's pray. God, we are truly overwhelmed by what you've done for us and what you're allowing us to do. And we pray that every ounce of our beings would be out of thanksgiving for your love and your generosity. And God, allow our confession to accompany every time we give, that we get to point people back to you, that it's not for our thanks, but for your thanks, because everything we have is yours. So Lord, we look forward to testing you in this. We want to give as much as we possibly can and see what you do, to see the floodgates open. And bless the children and the families at Palabra de Vida. We pray that you would give them many opportunities to grow deeper in their faith and to have an impact on their communities. It's in your name we pray. Amen.